The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Well, David is still young, and David is still not yet the king of Israel, but David, of course, is going to one day become the king of Israel. Saul, of course, is still the king. But it's going to be the very beginning of a very unhappy and difficult time for David. But at the same time, it's going to be a time where David is really going to grow, really going to, his relationship with the Lord is going to develop in a very, very great way. And during this time, his experiences are going to be very lonely experiences. There's going to be times that he feels like he's standing all alone. Maybe even some times that he feels as if he's wondering where God is, and perhaps even, has God forsaken him? Has God forgotten him? Now, this particular time in David's life is when Saul is seeking to kill him. And Saul's attitude, while it started out right with regards to David, it's changed dramatically. For instance, notice in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and look in your Bibles in verse 7 through 9. The Bible says, "And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.'" Then in verse 8, the Bible says, "And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward.'" So his whole attitude about David begins to change in a very real and very, very radical way. And look at verse number 12. "And Saul, he was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul." Isn't that interesting that Saul became afraid of David because he noticed that God was with David? If you may have even had experiences like that. Sometimes people, when they know that you walk with the Lord, when they know that you're a Christian, when they know that that you have a testimony, sometimes people are afraid of that. They shouldn't be, but they're fearful. And sometimes I think it's because your life, and you don't necessarily intend it to be this way, but your life and your walk with the Lord becomes a reflection of God in your life, and it reflects upon them. It can actually make them uneasy because it brings conviction to them. But in Saul's case, it was the opposite. Saul, it drove him, well, maybe not the opposite, but it just drew a wedge between him and David. Look at verse 29, or verse 28 of chapter number 18. "And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michelle, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually." Like Saul's jealousy of David, it became so great, it grew to such an extent that it would eat at him, and that's what jealousy does. It would eat at King Saul until nothing but murder would satisfy it. Saul would try to hunt down, and Saul would try to kill David, and really until Saul was killed in battle at a place called Gilboa, and I spoke of that a little bit last week. But that was the jealousy that manifested itself in King Saul, an unwarranted jealousy. Even so that Saul tried to take his own son's life at one point. The Bible says, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David." Now, Jonathan, as we saw last week, he defended David. They were the best of friends. He tried to intervene with his father. But Saul's jealousy was so great. Look in chapter 20 and verse 30. Look what the Bible says here. Chapter 20 and verse 30. "Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. The more Jonathan intervened, the angrier Saul, it seemed, became. And he said unto him, 'Thou son of the perverse and rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion?' Listen, the only person that was confused here was Saul. Amen? Amen, are you with me? It wasn't Jonathan that was confused. It was Saul that was confused. And the Bible goes on to say in verse number 31, "For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." Jonathan answered him, Saul, his father, and said unto him, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" And look what Saul does. He casts in verse 31, he takes a javelin, and he casts it at him to smite him. Whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to slay David. Well, that would give you a pretty good indication. His own father tried to kill him. He was so overtaken with jealousy. And so it really brings us to the point, the first point of the message. There was the pressure on David's life of gathering clouds. He knew. You know, have you ever on the horizon seen, or I've been watching the news this week, and those poor folks out in the Midwest, it just keeps raining and raining and raining. And it seems like every year somewhere in the United States, it just keeps raining and raining, and the rivers rise and the creeks rise. And the last thing that they want to look at, if you're out in Minnesota or in that area of the country, the last thing that they want to see on the horizon are more clouds coming. Because those clouds just mean more rain, more problems, more potential for difficulties. Well, David's life was like that. It was just gathering clouds. And as much as he tried to serve the king, as much as he tried to do right, not only in the king's eyes, but as much as he tried to do right in God's eyes, the clouds continued to gather. The storm clouds continued to brew. Now take your Bibles. Now we're going to spend the rest of the message in Psalm chapter number 59. So go ahead and turn there. And the reason that we're going to do that is because this is a psalm that David wrote when King Saul was trying to hunt him down, when King Saul was trying to kill him. And I want you to see these truths that are laid out in Psalm 59. Because you see, it doesn't matter who you are, there will be times in your life where storm clouds will begin to gather. Difficulties will arise. And David gives us great insight in Psalm 59 on how you and I can deal with it. You and I can look to the Lord and respond. And these storm clouds can come in all different shapes and forms. There may be people who are critical of you, and they just continue to be critical of you. And those storm clouds begin to continue to gather and to continue to gather and gather. And you sense the pressure of that. It may be some other storm clouds. Maybe it's the storm clouds of a difficult financial situation, and it doesn't ever seem as if the clouds are going to break and the sun is going to shine, but the financial situation, the clouds seem to get darker and even more difficult. It may be some health issue that you have to deal with. And those storm clouds, when you get bad news from the doctor, those storm clouds can begin to gather and you wonder, well, will they ever clear? Is it going to get worse? And what are they going to bring? Any number of issues. Could be problems that you're having at work, or problems with your family, or problems with your children, or just any number of things. But the storm clouds, they begin to gather. And that's what David's life was like. The storm clouds just begin to gather and to gather and to gather. And, you know, he had come from such a high mountaintop experience. So I want to make sure you're with me. What was that high mountaintop experience? What and how had God just worked in his life previous to Saul? You know, what was the motivation behind the Israelites saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s? Why did they say that? What had happened? He had killed Goliath. I mean, that's a mountaintop experience in David's life. He had seen God just work in such a great way. In fact, David's life, it just seemed to be, you know, when he was a young man and tending to the sheep, and God allowing him to kill the bear, and God said a lion had come and he had killed that. And God had just used him again and again and again. And everything, the king had chosen him to play the harp. I didn't read it, but if we went back in the text, when he went and he played the harp for Saul, the Bible says that it refreshed Saul. There he was, taken from out in the fields where he was a shepherd, right there next to the king. And it said that before all of this began to transpire, and before all the clouds began to gather, Saul loved David. But all that changed because he allowed that jealousy. So everything seemed to be going all in the right direction, the right direction, the right direction. And now all of a sudden, the man who once said he loved David, who cared for David, who was refreshed by David, now he wants to kill David. And he's got the entire Israeli army hunting him down, trying to put him to death. So the storm clouds, boy, do they grow in David's life all of a sudden. So read with me now Psalm 59. These words David penned while he was going through all of this. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Deliver me, David said, from mine enemies. Oh my God, defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me. And behold, thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? Let me just stop there. So look at verse 6. David said, they return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. In other words, they just keep coming. One day to the next, there just doesn't seem to be any let up. There just doesn't seem to be any passing of the storm clouds that are gathering. But I want you to notice this as David begins to deal with this. It's the first subpoint under point number 1. He reflects upon this. But he realizes with regards to him being hunted down and all the trouble that he's going through, that he's really innocent. He hasn't done anything to cause Saul to have reason to do what Saul is doing. Look what it says in verse number 3. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. And then he says this, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. He says, Lord, they're trying to hunt me down, and they're trying to kill me, but it's not because I've done anything wrong. It's not because of my transgressions. It's not because of I have been disloyal to the king. And so one of the things that you and I need to recognize is this. When storm clouds gather in our lives, it's not necessarily because we have sinned against God. It's not necessarily because we have sinned against another brother or sister in Christ. It's not necessarily because we have transgressed against God's word. I'm not going to have you turn back there, but if we were to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 1, David says to Jonathan, he says, listen, and I'm just paraphrasing now, but he says this, why is it that your father wants to kill me? What have I done to cause him to want to kill me? He basically says to Jonathan, listen, if there is something that I've done, you tell me, and I'll make it right. But I've searched my heart, he says, and I can't figure out if there's anything that I've done to offend him. And there wasn't. The testimony of David was that he had done nothing wrong. And so can I say this to you? If you're dealing with some kind of clouds in your life and some kind of difficulties, listen, the first thing that you ought to do is just search your heart. Now, it just may be that the Lord is chastening you. It just may be that there's something going on in your life and your walk with the Lord is not the way or what the Lord wants in your life. It just may be that you have some area of rebellion or rejection in your life and God is trying to use these storm clouds in order to make some correction. The psalmist, and I have it on your handout, Psalm 139 says, "Oh, search me, O God." Part of our devotional life, part of our prayer life should be, "Lord, search my heart. Search my heart and know my heart. Do an examination. Try me." That word sometimes isn't, it means to put me to the test. "And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And if there is, Lord, you speak to my heart about it. You show me. You instruct me." I think that's, David did that. That's why he, under inspiration, he wrote this. "And lead me," he said, "in the way of everlasting." You know, when David wrote that, and when David said to Jonathan, "What have I done?" He was just making sure that this wasn't a self-inflicted problem. And you and I, it's very important that we understand that. So some of our problems are self-inflicted. Sometimes we blame Satan. It has nothing to do with Satan. It has everything to do with ourselves and our own fleshly nature. So, "Oh, I'm under tremendous attack from the Lord." No, maybe you're just not walking with the Lord. I'm under tremendous attack from Satan. No, maybe you're just not walking with the Lord. Maybe you're not being obedient to His precepts and to His commandments, and God is trying to get your attention. But that wasn't the case in David's life. He was innocent of that. If you're following on the handout and on the back of your handout, the great Bible commentator Matthew Henry said this. He said, though our innocency will not secure us from troubles, yet it will greatly support and comfort us in our troubles. So just because there's not some area in our life that the Lord is trying to deal with and work out, it doesn't mean troubles are not going to come our way. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that sooner or later troubles do come your way. Sometimes those troubles they come from the opposition, they come from the enemy. And we need to be careful of that. But David had a real enemy. And remember, in Saul's life, there was an evil spirit that God allowed in Saul's life. And it was that evil spirit in Saul's life that was stirring up Saul's heart, and stirring up Saul's jealousy, and stirring up Saul's anger. And mark it down, you and I have an enemy, and our enemy, Satan, as a roaring lion who walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He will stir up any enemy that he can to bring you and to bring me trouble in our lives. It's just the way that it is. Peter said this, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation in Christ." In other words, there will always be people that may come along and make accusations, be that person who tries to bring difficulties into your life. But Peter said this, you make sure that you have a good conscience before the Lord, that you're serving the Lord. So David did that. Look what he says in verse number 4. He said, "They run and they prepare themselves without my fault," he said. This isn't my fault. I haven't created this problem. Nor from my... then he says, "Awake to help me and behold." So there's David. These clouds are gathering and he sees the clouds gathering. But then I notice this. His intentions. What are his intentions? And where does he place his intentions? Well, look at verse 5. He says, "Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah." His intentions are to turn to the Lord. And that ought to be your intentions and my intentions. When we examine our lives and we realize, number one, in this instance, that he was innocent of any wrongdoing. But whether you feel that you're innocent of any wrongdoing, or if the Lord speaks to your heart and convicts you of wrongdoing, our intentions then ought to be to turn to the Lord. Amen? Just turn to the Lord. And so David begins to turn to the Lord in this situation. Because that's where his hope is. That's where your hope is. That's where my hope is. Look. In fact, all through the Psalms, David does this. Look at Psalm 55 and look in verse 34. Psalm 55 and verse 34. He says this. Psalm 55 and verse 3 and 4. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the opposition of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. So you get a sense there, Saul dealing with all of that. But look what he says, verse 16. As for me, chapter 55, verse 16. As for me, he says, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He begins to turn his attentions upon the Lord, not on what's taking place, not on the situation that he's dealing with, not on the pressure or whatever it might be, not on the gathering clouds, but his intentions are turned toward the Lord. And look what it says in chapter 56 and verse 3. He says this, what time, he says, I am afraid. Well, look at verse 2. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. Oh, thou most high, what time I am afraid, he says, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I will have put my trust. And then one of my favorite verses in the Bible, look at Psalm 61 and look at verse 2. Psalm 61 and verse 2. The Bible says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. And I love this. Lead me to the rock, he says, that is higher than I, when my heart is overwhelmed. And there's David. He's dealing with all of this. The clouds are growing. And now his intentions are to turn to the Lord. Our intentions must always be turn to the Lord, whatever we're dealing with. And then go back to Psalm 59. And now the pressure of the gathering clouds, the examination of his innocence, and the transformation of where his intentions are now turned to God. Now we read verses 8 through 15, and it's a prayer of growing confidence in the Lord. Look what it says in verse 8. But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shall have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and let them go around about the city. It is the prayer of a growing confidence that David has in his God. His assurance is in God. Did you notice in verse 8 and verse 9 and verse 10 and then in verse 11, he says, O Lord, in verse 8, for God in verse 9, the God in verse 10, O Lord in verse 11. His assurance comes from the fact that he knows that he's worshiping the one, the true, the living God. Now remember, when he's writing this psalm, his situation hasn't changed. He's still being hunted down. He's still dealing with the storm clouds. He's still dealing with all the trouble. But the prayer that he has and his confidence begins to grow in the Lord. You and I need to find our confidence in the Lord, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you. That's what the Lord has done in you. The Lord is doing a good work in you. That's where our confidence comes from. That's where David's assurance came from, despite the fact that his situation hadn't changed. The enemy is still there, but his helplessness has turned to a growing faith in the only one that could take care of his problem and deal with the issue in his life. So he sees that. You know, the Bible says this with regards to God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. the Lord shall have them in derision. That's from Psalm chapter 2, where the Bible says, why do the heathen rage? And imagine a vain thing. God laughs at the heathen. He laughs at their opposition. He laughs at those that are in denial of the truths of God's Word. All through history, mankind has tried to destroy the things of God. Just as these gathering clouds, just as Saul is trying to kill David, all through history, mankind, the clouds of opposition have gathered, and from the day that the gospel went forth, even from the Garden of Eden, but from the days of the New Testament church until the day in which we live in now, there have been gathering storm clouds trying to stamp out, trying to do away with, trying to put away Christianity and the things of God. Amen? That's just the way that it's been. Everything from burning Bibles to burning believers. But despite all of that, the gospel of Jesus Christ continues to go forth, because when men and women down through time have found their assurance in the one true living God, the God of the Word. And David looks to God as he's being hunted down here and doesn't know how he's going to deal with all this. And his awareness, look what he says here. He says in verse 9, when he says, for God, He is my defense. Verse 10, the God, He is the God of my mercy. He defends me. He's merciful to me. He says at the end of verse 11, that the Lord, He is my shield. He is the omnipotent one. The God that we serve and worship, He is the omniscient one. He's the all-knowing God. He's the ever-present God. That's who we worship. And when the clouds come to gather, we need to remind ourselves of these things. He's the God who spoke creation into existence. He's the God who could split the Red Sea. He's the God who not only does He know the very number of the stars in the heavens, but He's named all of them. I mean, that's pretty mind-boggling. They say with the human eye, the most you could ever see is 10,000 stars. Just try to think if you had to remember the name of 10,000 stars. Sometimes I can't remember all the names of my 8 kids when I'm trying to get their attention. Sometimes I call Adam, Aaron, Adam. God knows all the names of all the stars. He's numbered them. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, how big is our God? The Bible says if you could span out the heavens, as far as God is concerned, it's a way for us to get the idea of how big God is. If you could take all of the heavens, as far as God's concerned, they would only measure from His thumb into His little pinky. If you could take all the water on the earth and gather it up, as far as God's concerned, he could hold it in the hollow of His hand. So David remembered this. Here, this enemy's hunting him down. He's going through these pressures. He's going through these difficulties. He checked out his life. Why is this taking place? His intentions are to turn to God. His prayer begins to grow because he's assured that he worships the one true living God. He becomes aware of and reminds himself, he's aware of who God is, the God who defends him, the God who is merciful, the God who is his shield in times of trouble. And look at his attitude in verse 9. He says, because of his strength, God's strength, because of God's strength will I wait upon thee. God's strength. Look at verse 10. He says the second part of it, God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. God will take care of this. God will do what God needs to do. In fact, in David's life, 2 times David had an opportunity to kill Saul. And in one of those instances, David's men said to him, when they were in the cave, Adullam, David was in the back of the cave, and David snuck up to Saul, and he cuts a piece of Saul's cloth off of his robe. And Saul leaves, and David calls to him after he leaves, and he says to Saul's men, he says, you men, You haven't fulfilled your responsibility of protecting the king. For today, I could have killed the king. And then he holds up that piece of his robe in his hand. Well, David's men told him this. At that moment, they said, David, you have a perfect opportunity to kill the king right now. And David said, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. And you read it in 1 Samuel. David would go on and say to his men something like this. Listen, when Saul's time is up, God will take care of that. God will see to his demise. Either God will take his life, or God will let an enemy take his life. But this is entirely and totally up to God. I'm going to let God handle it. So all through David's life, he's learning this. And these days, I believe, is what would make David the great king that he would become. His confidence in God just grew and grew. You know, David could have become very prideful with regards to killing Goliath. I mean, he was just a young man. And when he heard people say, the king, Saul kills his thousands, but David his 10,000s, David's heart could have welled up within him and pride could have taken over. It didn't. I think these situations kept David humble, but his confidence in the Lord, it just began to grow and to grow and to grow. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help, he says, cometh from the Lord. But we live in a great area to remember that verse. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Well, what do we do when we lift up our eyes to Mount Greylock? Well, what's above Mount Greylock? The heavens, amen? We lift up our eyes across the Florida mountain. And what's above Florida mountain? The heavens. Wherever we are, we look to the mountains and above the mountains. That's what David said as a shepherd boy. There he was in the hills of Israel as he watched the sheep. And he would lift up his eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help, David said. My help cometh from the Lord. And your attitude and my attitude ought to be, that's where our help comes from. Listen, and I think you know this, but does not God watch over his people? Amen? Does he not? Come on. Does not God watch over his people? Amen? Amen. He does. Just as the shepherd watches over his sheep, the faithful shepherd, God watches over his people. But don't ever forget this. As we understand that God watches over us, you and I must watch for the coming of his strength and power in our lives. We can have that, oh, God watches over me, but are we knowing that, realizing that, understanding that, are we looking in our lives for God's strength and God's power and God's purpose and God's confidence being established in us? Are we looking for things that God brings into our lives that help establish that? There's different practical ways. Listen, in your prayer life, if you have a regular prayer life, God will use that prayer life to help build your confidence when the growing clouds come. God will speak to you through your prayer time. If in your daily devotions before the Lord, that's why if you're not in God's Word every day, you can believe that God watches over you, but He's trying to speak to you. He's trying to communicate with you. And there, you're not reciprocating. It may be He wants you to just take that one verse that you've read that morning and to plant it into your heart. And that one verse will allow your confidence and your assurance and your attitude to begin to develop. But if you're not doing any of that, if the only time you turn your attention to the Lord is on Sunday morning, you can understand these truths, but there's no application in your life. I think God wants to speak to you and communicate with you every single day. Every day. And the reason sometimes when the storm clouds come, and sometimes they're darker than at other times, your confidence has to be built up before they ever come. But even if it's not, if God takes that storm cloud at that moment and that time, just as David, you have to turn to the Lord. But then don't be one of these that the only time you turn to the Lord is when the dark clouds are there. If you've never cultivated that in your life when that time happens, well, after those clouds pass, so often what do we do? So does our devotion to God's Word. So does our commitment to prayer. And then our confidence begins to wane in the Lord. David became the great king because he continued to build his confidence in the Lord each and every day. The prayer of a growing confidence in David's life. His situation hadn't changed. When he wrote this, he's being hunted down by King Saul. But he has assurance that the God that he worships is the one true living God. He's aware that God is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God watching over him. He understands that. His attitude is, I'm going to lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Someone said this, I read it this past week. Listen, if God can care for the entire universe, He can care for you and your little needs. Now, I underlined in your notes the word little. Because your need may not be little to you. All of a sudden, you go to the doctors and the doctor says, you have such and such. I saw Bea Burgess this week. She was up for a couple of days. And some of you don't know Bea. Many of you do. Bea and Ellis were members of our church years ago. And one day, Bea was reading in a woman's magazine with regards to cancer, ovarian cancer. And she had those symptoms. And she immediately went to the doctor. And the doctor diagnosed her with stage 4 ovarian cancer. That's a pretty dark cloud, amen? But if you knew Bea and her testimony, she went to the Lord in prayer. Her faith was strong. Her confidence in God was strong. Obviously, she went to the doctors, had radical surgery. And you'll forgive me, I forget how many years. It's been quite a few years, 3 or 4, I would say maybe more. At least 3 or 4 years. I saw her, I was at Dunkin' Donuts with Sean and Mariana. And there someone said, hey, I looked up and there she was. I said, how you doing? She said, I'm doing great. The Lord is good. And God touched her life and those are growing clouds. Now, I can tell you that was not a little problem when she heard the news. And the reason I put little and underlined it in that quote, but in God's eyes, it's nothing. It's nothing for God to heal cancer. It's nothing for God to take care of your clouds. Nothing. It's the same God who conquered sin. It's the same God who conquered death and rose from the dead victorious over sin and over death. Any problem you have, any situation you have, in God's eyes, I'm not saying it's little in your eyes because it's not, but in God's eyes, it's like nothing. I can vanquish this enemy. That's what David said in the Psalm. Oh, Lord, vanquish this enemy. God can vanquish that enemy like that. We just need a prayer of a growing confidence. And then lastly on your handout, the third point is this, the praise of a genuine conviction in David's life. Remember, he's being hunted down when he writes this. Saul wants him dead and the armies of Israel are hunting him down. And this is what he says in verses 16 and verse 17. He said, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Listen, the help of God does not come to you and I if we're just going to be indifferent. The help of God comes when we know that there's not indifference, but we believe by faith that God will make a difference. Because we understand who God is, and we understand what God has done before, and we understand what God will continue to do, and God has done. And that comes from a genuine conviction. And you and I, in the darkest of days, in the darkest of clouds, sometimes we just need the strength of God to sing of His power. As we sang in the last song, stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed. And David could do that. I'll sing of thy power. You know, most of the Psalms are really, they're meant to be sung. They're songs that the Israelites would sing. They would sing the Word of God. And David, he would sing unto God. He sang unto His power. And he sang it with a loud voice. He just let his voice just, if you've never been to Israel, but even here, like yesterday, we were outside, and the neighbors across the little valley that we live in, they were having some type of a party. I don't know if it was a graduation party, but something was going on. And the wind blows across that valley, and you could, I would say it's probably, they're probably 500 or 600 yards to get to their house. But you could, we might as well have been sitting right there under the tent with them, because you could hear everything that they said. That's the way it is in the open air. I think when Jesus stood and preached at the sea, and if you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee where he fed the multitudes, the sea comes up and there is a hillside right there, and you can just stand there at the edge of the Sea of Galilee and envision literally thousands of people on that hillside and him speaking to them and probably not having to speak to them any louder than I'm speaking to you, and they could hear clearly. But I could just envision David as whether it was a shepherd boy or whether it was in these days here, as he wandered through those hills and he sang, and the voice of David and the songs of David just carried throughout those hills and through those valleys as he praised and he worshiped God, and he sang of the power of God, and he sang of the mercy of God. That's where his focus was. Philippians chapter number 4 and verses 6 and 7 say, be careful or be anxious, be careful for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication. And what's the next word? Say it for me now. Yeah, that's pretty poor. And everything by prayer and what? Thanksgiving. Well, what is thanksgiving? That's giving thanks to God. Are you prepared to give thanks to God for every cloud that comes your way? Because if the cloud comes your way, and God allows the cloud to come your way because of your own self-inflicted problems, give thanks to God that He's brought something in your way to make correction. In David's case, his innocency, the clouds came. Give thanks to God because he purposely had to continue to focus on and give his attention to and have the right attitude and his assurance built in the Lord. So are you prepared to do that? Whatever cloud comes your way, are you prepared to give thanks? Are you prepared to praise God? Are you prepared to thank Him for what's coming your way? That's what Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, said. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Get your focus on the Lord. So, sure, there was the pressure of gathering clouds. And yeah, the prayer of a growing confidence in the Lord. But then there was finally the praise of a genuine conviction. He really believed what he sang about. He really believed what he sang aloud. He really believed that God was who God said He was. He really believed that God could do what God said He could do and be who God said He could be. And Psalm 59 is about one man who's being hunted down during a very difficult, dark, and lonely time in his life. Despite all of that, he built his faith in the Lord. And so should you and I. You may feel besieged by some enemy. It may not be, we talked a little bit about some sickness or maybe some financial issue, some criticism or something that's going on. Look to the Lord. Look to God. And don't be discouraged. Look to God. He knows that you're there. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with. He's already been victorious over the greatest challenge that you and I will ever have, and that's death. He rose from the dead.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com. www.mountgreylockbaptistchurch.com.